I'm Georgie Crawford. This is The Good Glow. Welcome to my episode with Whitney Port. I believe we all have a story to tell, and by sharing these stories, we can help and encourage each other on our journey through life. This season of The Good Glow podcast is brought to you with thanks to Promise Gluten Free. When it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, nutritious food is a key part of my everyday. The Promise Gluten Free range is high in fiber, low in fat, and absolutely delicious. You will always find it in our press, and I especially love the sourdough rustic seed. Better bread, that's a promise, so make sure to check it out. Thank you for tuning in today. You know, last summer I turned around to Jamie in the office and I said, Whitney Port, I need to get Whitney Port on The Good Glow. And I cannot believe that we managed to make it happen all these months later. It was months in the making, and I'm so grateful to Whitney for giving me her time, for giving me so much of her story, and for being so open and honest on this podcast. So Whitney shot to fame in 2006 on The Hills. It became one of the world's biggest reality shows, and I know so many of you along with me are catching up again because The Hills has just been re-released on Netflix. So Whitney was always the voice of reason. She was the grounded one, and that's why I was so dying to have a proper catch up with her. She married a producer of The City, which is the show she went on to star in. His name is Timmy, and they have a son together. And she went on to become a real powerhouse for women. She speaks so honestly about the highs and lows of her personal life, her professional life, and her podcast With Wit is really raw and open. So today we have a gorgeous conversation about manifesting, the ups and downs of marriage and relationships, and the mantra that gets her through it all. She tells me that right at the end. And honestly, this mantra is one I will use again and again. Before we get into it, there's still time to join our January refresh, where I am your coach for 14 days. All you need is 10 minutes a day to give this gift to yourself, to get aligned and get focused for the year ahead. So for so many years, I just went around and around in circles, and I wrote this refresh with growth in mind. A way in which we can evolve and move forward. And you can start today over on thegoodglow.ie. And I've been getting some beautiful reviews in this week. Thank you. They mean the world to me. Someone said, I'm finding the refresh really inspiring. It keeps me focused for the day. Someone else said, thank you. It has left me feeling so empowered that I feel really excited. I love that one. Your refresh is leading me into a new and happier perspective on life. I feel a glow inside. And this one, Georgie, I just finished day 4 and I realized that my biggest obstacle to aligning with myself is me. And that is all about to change. Whoa, I love these. And that is exactly what I wanted people to feel empowered, to take their happiness and their life into their own hands. So if you would like to join, you can start on day 1 today over on thegoodglow.ie. Now over to the incredible Whitney Port.
And we came to Ireland I can't remember if it was a finale or something. And everyone was so freaking nice. And I remember they were like, everyone was pretty big fans of The Hills over there. So yeah, if you guys don't know, I have a podcast. After you listen to this, definitely go check out my podcast With Wit. I'm so happy that you've been listening. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I love it. And sorry, just press record because sometimes I do this with my guests, like we just start chatting and I haven't pressed record. So first of all, welcome to The Good Glow, Whitney. Thank you for taking the time. And I was just saying to you there that you are like a friend to people in Ireland. And that's why when you came here, you felt that warm welcome, because you are such a big part of all of us, my generation growing up. I remember myself and my best friend Audrey crying when The Hills was over, because we were like, how are we going to know what they're doing now?
I mean, luckily social media was invented. So then everyone was able to like sort of stay in touch with what we were up to. But yeah, I can't believe it's been so long. I was just talking to my friend who is over here, who we were going through the whole timeline. And like, I started doing the Hills when I was 20 and I'm now 37. Isn't that crazy? Oh my God.
You kind of have a similar life to me in terms of we're the same age. We have a child the same age. We got married the same year. And I'm sure for lots of your fans, you have so much in common with them. And I promise this entire podcast will not be about the Hills because there is much more to your life. But I felt
an interesting part of my existence for sure. Yeah.
And it's actually so lovely to see how proud you are of it. Mm-hmm. But on the Hills, you were this voice of reason. I felt like you were kind of the big sister. I felt like you were so true to your values. Mm-hmm. And where did that come from?
So I think what I always attribute it to is just my childhood and my parents and also where I grew up. So a lot of people think that I grew up in Laguna Beach or Orange County, but I actually grew up in like the heart of Los Angeles. And I went to a private school in Los Angeles among a lot of really like well-to-do Hollywood people. So I was never in that, like my dad was in the fashion industry actually. And so we were always like a little bit removed from the Hollywood scene, but I grew up around it. So it didn't really like excite me, especially when I was, you know, 18 or 20, you know, 20 when I started doing the show and started actually being out in the Hollywood world. Like I just didn't care as much. Like I wasn't doing it for the fame. So I think that had a lot to do with it, just being from Hollywood and you know, having that experience. And then also just my parents, like, I think everything they did in raising me and growing me into like a really confident person helped me really stay true to myself on the show. Because I think had I not had the foundation of confidence from like a really strong upbringing, I would have been urged to say things or do things that most of the people did, you know, because they didn't have that like shell of confidence to go back to. And all of them also wanted the fame. Whereas, like I said, that was not something that I was doing it for. Like I was doing it to start a fashion line. And so I knew that everything that I said and did had to be in line with creating that life for myself. Wait, hang on one sec. Okay.
My husband. No worries.
Hi. Can I be on the podcast?
You want to say hi really quickly?
Yeah.
They're in Ireland.
Oh my God, I love Ireland.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Sorry to interrupt.
You guys are wearing the same color.
Yes, yeah,
so I know.
Yeah, I'm in some purple too.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about? Fashion?
He was just asking me how I was normal, basically, like how. Yes. I was like how I got on a TV show and didn't, you know, do crazy shit.
We were just saying, and I won't interrupt for too much longer. But what were we just saying? We were saying the other day about...
Oh, people have a choice.
We were saying about someone...
From Siesta Key, because, you know, we do this reacting series on this previously, and I've been DMing with someone that was on the show, and they were trying to prove themselves, like share with me that they were really manipulated by the producers to say certain things. And I remember that feeling.
They made a good point. Like, it is really hard to not fall victim to what a lot of people... fall victim to, because you are getting pressured by producers. There's networks. It's not just there are extenuating circumstances that viewers don't understand. And I was like, "Well, Lainey, you never did that." And she was like, "Yeah, I think I'm the only one." And I mean, not to diss everyone else, but
no,
like,
but I
one of the only ones who
didn't do that.
Oh, guys, I'm witnessing such a beautiful moment here.
There was.
I'll leave you guys. Nice
for
to
that
meet you.
Reason. Nice to meet you. Like I remember, and I do look back on it fondly, and I don't have any regrets about doing it. If someone handed me the opportunity again, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I do have vivid memories of these feelings, like walking into set with this dread of like, what kind of fight am I going to have with the producers today? Like, what are they going to want me to do or say? And I would always try to come to like a happy medium with them, because I also had to understand, like, I'm doing a TV show. This is a reality show where people are watching for the drama, right? Like, for the controversy. So I had to play it up a little bit, and that never quite felt totally comfortable, but I only ever did it to my comfort level. But I always had to thinking about, like, how could this possibly also be chopped up and edited? Because I have no control over that, you know? Part of it also had to do with the mission of the producer. Like, he, I think, made it clear to the editors and everyone on the show that Lauren on the Hills and then me on the City were kind of like supposed to be viewed at as, you know, everyone's best friend, right? Like what you were saying. So I don't think he ever really wanted to show any real flaws or bad sides to us, because he wanted everyone to kind of see themselves in us. Do you know what I mean?
100%. And that is every best set of best friends wanted to be just like you guys. And so where in the world are you now? Because I always, you know, just looking at you from the outside in, I was always like, oh, she's an East Coaster. I don't know why. It's because. Yeah. So where do you live now? What is your life like?
So I'm sorry. I'm just looking at myself. I'm like, I want to turn off my camera because I look so insane right now. But I live in Los Angeles. So I'm back where I was born. Not entirely. I wanted to move like a half hour away from where I was born in Los Angeles is pretty big. So we live in the Valley in Los Angeles. And life looks very, very, very different to how it once looked, right? Like, obviously, like I said, it's been almost 20 years and there's a kid involved and life just isn't as glamorous. That's to my liking. Like, I've always been a homebody. I was one of five kids. Like, I've always been just like a homebody who just wanted a good balance of like chilling, being at home, being with my family, working, and then like getting out there and doing my thing. So that's where I'm at now.
And I, even before you came on this podcast, like, I was sitting here waiting and I was like, you know, maybe Whitney won't show up because Whitney owes me nothing. And but then I was like, no, Whitney wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't. I honestly, like, you're making me feel so good that the fact that I've come across like that without us even knowing each other, like, I love that I seem dependable, because it's weird how I don't sometimes view myself as that. Like, I can be like a little flaky, really go with the flow, like a big procrastinator, but at the same time, like, I will get what I need to get done when I need to get it done, and I'm like very professional and I have goals. But there's like, obviously there's many facets to all of us, but it's interesting because sometimes like how I view myself isn't exactly how other people view me.
But it's so nice to connect, because, and I was going to tell you before we logged on to this pod or we started recording, that currently we're starting a surrogacy journey. We were about to implant our embryo in our surrogate the week of the Ukrainian war. So our Ukrainian surrogate was a beautiful Ukrainian lady, and everything got delayed. So we restarted our journey at the start of this year. Our embryos, six of our embryos, are currently right now in this very second on a train to Berlin.
Oh my God.
So we're moving them to a different country. So I was logging on, you know, with that on my mind. You're logging on from California with, you know, the weather and all this stuff that's going on over there. Yet two women can sit down, have a chat and connect without even knowing each other, but yet have this, I feel like, you know, with people that I speak to, we have this kind of connection that we're willing to open up, we're willing to make new friends, you're willing to take a step forward, and it's just so lovely.
Yeah, it really is. I can get really easily intimidated. And so as soon as I logged on and saw your face, I was like, oh, this is going to be nice. Like, we're going to have a nice open conversation.
Tell me about, this is probably a weird question. And I think about this in my life all the time, because, you know, when I go through something and then I come out the other side and everything is fine and I go back to normal, I often wonder that if I had a crystal ball a couple of years ago and I could see my life now, would I have looked through it? So when you think about your tough times, do you think you would have looked through it, or do you think you would have trusted the process?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I really don't like surprises, so I feel like I would have been very urged to look through it and then tried to, I mean, it's so hard, but maybe like tried to work backwards and see how I could have changed things. But at the same time, like, I probably, when I got down to it and like I went through all the pros and cons in my head, which is something that I usually do when facing a tough decision, I would realize that all these things have happened for me to be at this place. And I'm so happy with where I'm at this place. So it wouldn't be natural to go and try to like puppet master my way through my life. Like, that doesn't feel right. But it does sound like alluring, obviously, to want to know. But I think that also could inhibit us, if you really think about, like, if we knew what was going to happen in life, like, what would make life exciting, you know, like, and how would we grow? Because we would just be making decisions based off of something that has already happened. So yeah, probably, especially after this conversation, I would say I would just let things happen.
And that question just came to me, you know, right before I came on. And I think it was because I was listening to your podcast last week, and I really love your solo ones.
My solos are like so like all over the place, right?
Yeah, but that's what I love, because I think we all can see ourselves in, you know, the things you talk about, and you're talking yourself around things and out of things and into things. And it's really interesting just to get inside your brain. But you spoke about fantasizing your life. So lying down and really thinking about things. And I had a guest last season that said the same thing, but tell us about that and what you meant by that.
Well, I just believe, and I know this sounds cheesy and like very LA, but I really do believe in like the power of manifestation and about really thinking about what it is you want in life. And I think that you can start with as extreme as like your major, major goals, you know, like things that you don't even think are possible, but start by really fantasizing and let your mind go crazy and don't feel guilty about the things that you may be asking for in your brain, but really just let your mind wander. And I think that somehow connecting to those things that you want, you like are firing up something in your brain that then you, I feel like subconsciously you start making decisions to help you get to that thing. Like, there's just something that subconsciously happens. There's like this energy moving. As soon as you figured out that that was something that you wanted, you're starting to make decisions in your life to get there that you unknowingly do. So I think there's a lot of power in that. And like, I will put things out there in like 2 years, this is what I want. And then I work backwards and try to, like, for realistic things, I work backwards and try to figure out, okay, here are the steps that I need to take in order to get there. But I really do believe in the power of fantasy and believing that, like, also cheesy, that anything is possible and that you can do anything. So it's just like, why even put your energy towards the negative thoughts? If am I making sense?
100%. Because what I connected with when you said that was, I think sometimes when we really want something, we don't let ourselves believe that it's happening or
that we're worth it.
Yes. So we don't even go there. We don't even think about the outcome. We don't even think about it happening. But what if we stopped, gave ourselves a pause and actually thought about what we really want, because that is manifesting, and that is how your brain is going to figure out how you get there. Because there's a friend of mine called Jerry Hussey, and he always says, how does the universe know that you want something if you don't say it?
100%. And the universe can mean so many different things, right? There's just so many little moves that our body makes and our brain makes to help us get to those places. And if we don't say them, not that we have to talk to anybody about them, but if we don't say them even to ourselves, then we're not even allowing the option to be there.
I'll get right back to Whitney. First, I wanted to thank Promise Gluten Free for supporting the Good Glow this season. Loved in households all over the country. Here's what one happy customer had to say. Katie from Dublin said, after having Promise Gluten Free, I didn't feel bloated anymore. I felt sharper, to be honest. For me and my husband, it's just an easier option. We're not compromising anymore. And if you're looking for some gorgeous inspiration, head over to their social media pages for lots of tasty recipes and ideas. You can find them at Promise Gluten Free. Better bread, that's a promise. I think it's something else that you spoke about in your podcast, and you do all of these different episodes of different topics, and you were speaking about yourself and Timmy, and you were like, you know, we're just not on the same page today. And well, my husband, Jamie, he's not a morning person yet. Okay. I am. So when I wake up in the morning and he's not like all excited for the day ahead, I take that personally. So it was interesting when you said about the same page thing, because that's a really good way, I think, of coping with whatever you're feeling, to just say, okay, well, right now in this minute, we're not on the same page. And I think in Ireland, we're really bad at talking about our relationships. So it's a big kind of swept under the rug. Like, no one my age would really be talking about, you know, therapy or anything like that. And it's something I want to bring to my podcast, and I want to normalize, because none of us have a perfect relationship.
I think that, like, for sure, no one has a perfect relationship. Like, what is even perfect? I think that you're two entirely different people that are still getting to know each other, and you're still having to figure out, like, what makes you tick. And I think the most important thing, so that it doesn't affect your confidence, and something that I'm continually working on, because I'm by means no master of this, is making sure that I'm not projecting my insecurity onto my partner. So if my partner's in a mood about something, if I know that my partner is not a morning person, instead of like internalizing that and then making myself feel bad, like, have I done something wrong? Is he annoyed with me for something? Like, continually reminding myself that this is just him. This is just his thing. It has nothing to do with me. And I'm just going to go get on with my day and like shift my energy elsewhere. And it's hard. It's hard because sometimes we don't believe ourselves. Like, for me, sometimes even when I say to myself, like, oh, this is just him, like, I haven't done anything. But then I'm like, wait, am I sure? Like, is there a reason he could be annoyed with me? And so I think that that's when we have to really self-check and be like, no, let's get a hold on what the reality is right now. Like, what is the reality of what's going on? Like, does this happen every morning? Yes. Is it because we know he's not a morning person? Yes. Will he likely snap out of it in an hour? Yes. So it's like connecting to all those realities is really important. And having these conversations that this stuff is all normal. Like, I literally just got into a thing with Timmy before this. Like, I was crying. I have swollen eyes right now because I was crying a little bit, and it wasn't even a big deal, but like, couples get into stuff. Like, we're not always going to see things the same way. And I think that as long as you're communicating in a productive way, that you should be talking about that with other people and normalizing that, because I think then you're not questioning your relationship all the time.
Yeah. And I love that it's a communication issue, not a love issue.
No, you know? Well, exactly. That's the thing. I think sometimes like these little fights or these little issues will result in maybe someone thinking, oh, the love is dying, or he doesn't love me as much as I love him. And I think that's when it's like you're going to this doomsday mentality that's just unnecessary, that I go to all the time. But I have to take a good hard look at what actually happened. And it usually happens like a few hours later. I start to get a little bit of perspective on things. So I also highly recommend that if anybody gets like, you know, if anybody thinks that they're going to say something that they might regret or needs to calm down, to like not communicate when they're seeing red, you know, to take some distance from it. Because I would want to talk things out, like talk things over and over and over and over. And Timmy really needed to take some space and like go for a walk before communicating with me about it. And I had to learn to respect that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great advice. What are the things that you turn to? Because you speak about anxiety. I feel like you're on this journey of wellness and self-care and self-awareness. Do you kind of have, and I hate the word toolkit when it comes to self-care. I'm like writing a book at the moment and I'm like, toolkit like doesn't belong in my book. But I've yet to come up with an alternative. But like, what is your toolkit?
It's a really good question. I think that when I'm in like an anxious moment, I can't really do anything. Like I have to kind of like be on my own and calm myself down. And my toolkit is like breathing deeply and like connecting to my reality, you know, like counting my breaths or like visualizing breathing in blue and breathing out red and then connecting to my reality. Meditating is super helpful for me. So like I'll use the Calm app and I'll do a 10-minute meditation that will help me get out of my spiraling a little bit. Long showers are like, you know, really healing and beneficial, or just like splashing cold water on my face and like putting an eye mask on, you know. Obviously those things are a little bit more on like the, yeah, like physical side, but those things can help too, right? Like a little physical refresher.
Yeah. You can't beat a shower. And, I was interviewing someone, James Kavanagh, last year, and he was saying that like when he's in the shower, he like visualizes like the day and the problems just literally washing off. Mm-hmm. Like when I have anxiety or I'm going through something, I could be in the shower 3 times a day.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's really powerful. And also for me, like I get really into my routine and I get really meditative on my routine and I like take care of myself in the shower, you know, like I'll like double shampoo and I'll like really massage my scalp and my temples and my jaw and I'll like do some stretches and I'll like I love my shower. We renovated our bathroom and we put in a steam shower and it has like music and lights and stuff. So I feel gross even saying that, but for me, that's like my little happy place and we all work hard for something, you know? So yeah.
Oh my God, I love that so much. And obviously you've had, you know, you have the YouTube and you've rewatched The Hills with Timmy and things, and we get to see you guys like sitting, chilling and stuff. But what is your favorite thing to do with him? Is it to like sit down and watch something brilliant on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We just love to chill together. And I think that we made like a passion of ours and a hobby of ours into a career because we just love to chill and watch stuff and like talk about it, you know? I also love just laying next to him and both of us just like reading our books and just being comfortable and quiet with him. I love traveling with him. I feel like dinner dates are overrated. Like I like an activity more, you know, because sometimes I've noticed dinner dates, like there's all this pressure for a couple, especially once you have kids, to like go on this dinner date and have a great time and have like interesting conversation. And so sometimes I find myself before the dinner, like thinking about things I'm going to talk to him about. And then it becomes really rehearsed. And then you're like, oh, this is staged and I'm on a date with my husband. So I feel like doing something more fun and less like rigid on a date, I think is helpful. But I do think obviously that time to connect is important.
You recorded a brilliant podcast with your sisters.
Yeah.
After, while you were grieving your father. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to that. I was in Spain at the time. And it really struck me that there's so many different versions of someone's passing from people who are in the same family. So you're, the way you coped and dealt with it was different to every single one of your sisters, and they were different to everyone else. And it really made me think about that, because I hadn't heard a podcast like that before. And it's nearly 10 years now. Like, how are you?
I know. Thank you. I'm okay. Like, I have gotten to a place where I know how to manage my grief now. You know, like I know when I'm repressing it and need a good cry and need to pay attention to it and deal with it. And I know when I'm okay and like don't need to cry about it, or don't, you know, when I think about him and don't need to be immediately depressed about it. You know, like I feel like I've gotten a good handle on my feelings and my emotions, which is really refreshing, because for a while there afterwards, like I would say like up until like 2 years ago, until I really started to get into therapy, like be on medication, take care of myself, I was not handling it very well. And I was not realizing how much of my grief I was letting filter into my life and into my other relationships. But I am now, I feel like I'm at an okay place with it. I think what I struggle with the most at the moment is just certain family members not being able to move forward. It's never something that you want to force, and it's you want to honor all of your family's relationship with him, and a passing of someone like that is never something that you can get over. But I think that there comes a point where there's still life to live, and it makes me sad to see that certain members are still just cannot move on from it. And that's my grief right now. You know, it's less about my own grief of missing my dad. It's more about how other people are coping with it and how I wish that I could do something about that.
Yeah. Well, I hope it all works out. And like, you're so honest about the process, and I think it's so important to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Are you good at asking for help?
Yes. I mean, that's a good question. Yes, like I think, and my husband probably would say I'm too good for asking for help, because I definitely break down to him a lot and depend on him a lot. I wouldn't necessarily say like I go into the room and I'm like, I need help. Can you work through something with me? And maybe if I prefaced it like that, it would be healthier instead of me just like dumping a bunch of feelings on him, you know? But I do feel like I'm able to get support when I need it. And that I don't really feel the need to ask for it a lot. But if I did, there would be people that would be there for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to hear. And it sounds very much like with my Jamie, like I would dump on him a lot and I'd be like, yeah. Oh my God, this is a blah, blah, blah. But like, what if I just sat down by myself for 5 minutes and tried to figure it out myself? You
100%,
know?
100%. Like tried to figure it out and then go to him and be like, hey, I was dealing with this thing, but like I thought about it and here's how I'm thinking about dealing with it or whatever. And then they'd be like, oh, whoa, like, you're so evolved. You work through this on your own.
Well, listen, I won't keep you too much longer. I just have two more questions, Whitney.
Yeah, of course.
What is the reaction from people when they see you out and about in LA? Like, do you get a wink? Do you get that knowing look? Like, what sort of things do people say to you?
Lately, it's been people that watch our YouTube. And in LA, like, there's so many famous people, you know, and I'm like an F-list celebrity. So people aren't really as excited. I don't think when they see me, either they don't know who I am because I was on a TV show 15 years ago, or I'm like not that big of a star, you know, but when people do come up to us, they just love our YouTube channel. Like they love Timmy and I together, and they're always really, really warm and sweet and comfortable. And I love that. But I don't really get I don't feel like people are watching me or looking at me or anything.
Okay, well, that's good probably that you're just don't feel like you're under a microscope.
No.
Okay, Whitney, thank you so much. I have a little quick fire round.
Yeah.
Just to give us a few little tips and tricks from the beautiful Whitney Port. Okay. So the first one is, what is your number one pick me up?
Okay. A facial.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I love facials.
That's a good one. Can you recommend a book to us?
Yes. Oh my gosh. There's one that's so beautiful. Crying in H Mart was one that I recently read that was just so beautifully written and a beautiful story.
Wow. I'm going to include a link to that in the show notes. Your favorite place in the world?
Oh my gosh. The first place that comes to mind is Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. It's just this lake that my family's been going to ever since I was born.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out. And do you have an affirmation or a saying that you come back to when you feel like you need a guide?
Yeah, I say to myself, no way out but through.
And what does that mean?
It just means like, sometimes I think that we're always searching for this way out so that we don't feel these uncomfortable feelings, but there's no way outside of it. Like there's no way to get outside of it without going through it and feeling those feelings. Like there's no easy fix to stuff. Like you have to move through it, right? You can't just like escape. You can't just turn off. That's not how we work. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm blown away by that. I love that so much. What a perfect way to end the podcast.
My pleasure.
No way out but through.
No way out but through. Just got to feel it, go through it. You can't escape it. Just move through it. Even if you have to like crawl your way through it, that's the way you got to go, you know?
Wow. Whitney Port, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to listen to this. And let's connect. I want to talk to you about your surrogacy stuff.
There you have it, Whitney Port. Wasn't she just so normal and so nice and so grounded? And I thought it was so generous of her just to take an interest in my life and ask me lovely questions back. She's an amazing person and I hope we get to keep in touch. As I said, the January Refresh is live. You can start from day one at any time this week. I will be your coach. All you need is 10 minutes a day. Head over to thegoodglow.ie for more. I'll see you next week.